Well, where I started was Boulder, Colorado. I grew up in Nashville, Tennessee, and our family moved to Colorado. So I did the opposite of what a lot of people do. They usually go to Nashville. I grew up seeing Hot Rise, and Hot Rise was really, I must say, my most major influence, I think, in bluegrass. Tim O'Brien was kind enough to give me some mandolin lessons in the 80s when I was learning, and that was really great. Then I started going to bluegrass festivals, and I started going to the Rocky Mountain Bluegrass Festival, which is now Rocky Grass, and Tay Ride. I had been an electric guitar player and then started playing the mandolin. Really, one of the main bands that influenced me was Newgrass Revival, because they took bluegrass and rock and put them together and had this rock singer in John Cowan, you know, and this electric mandolin player in Sam Bush and Pat Flynn and Bela Fleck. I mean, to me, that was just like, wow. It was the bluegrass explosion. It was just like, wow. Who does that? Between Hot Rise really also paving the way in that way, because they were traditional, yet they had an electric bass player. And so I think you guys got a lot of flack for the electric bass from what, and the phase shifter on the banjo. And then they turned into this whole other band. Like, suddenly they would go out and then they would come back in these different clothes and they'd be this swing, country swing band. I'm like, that is the coolest thing I've ever seen. That is great. And, you know, I think those two bands, you know, were both pushing the envelope. And I loved that. I mean, I loved bluegrass and traditional bluegrass and, you know, Monroe and the Stanley Brothers. But what I really wanted to do was take bluegrass somewhere else and see what you could do with it. When Leftover Salmon first started playing, we got together in the campground at the Telluride Bluegrass Festival, and we entered the band contest with 13 people on stage, and we were really trying actually to not win the band contest, but just kind of be ridiculous. And so I think we accomplished that, and we met Mark Vann that year, the banjo player, and who we miss dearly. All we wanted to do, because at that time, it was very difficult for anybody to tour and play bluegrass. I think probably Hot Rise and a handful of other bands were the only ones that were doing it. Everybody else, pretty much bluegrass was during the summer at festivals, and then you worked your job the rest of the year. And that's what I was doing. I was a teacher. I was a Montessori teacher, strangely enough. And then I met Vince, and he pretty much wanted to do the same thing. Like, we just wanted to play music. We were tired of working jobs, and we just wanted to figure out a way that we could play bluegrass all year round. And the first thing we wanted to do was play at the ski areas in Colorado. Like, well, that's a good goal, you know. We'll add drums, and maybe we can play some electric instruments, and we can play in bars and not just play festivals. And so that's how it started out. We just wanted to find a way that we could tour with bluegrass. And so we combined it with some other kinds of music and some rock and some calypso and some Cajun and various other influences that Vince had. And Vince came along, this guy who knows 1,000 songs, and he's like steeped in all these different traditions. You know, he would go down to Mardi Gras and check out all the Cajun stuff. And so I basically started learning the fiddle when Leftover Salmon started, so we could play Cajun music. And we had an accordion player. But anyway, we figured out a way that we could make a living. And that was pretty much the motivation, and it went from there. And suddenly we're playing big festivals, and we're playing Red Rocks, and we're opening for bands like Widespread Panic, and, you know, playing the Horde Festival with Neil Young, and, you know, we're doing all this big stuff and playing to thousands of people. It worked somehow. It actually worked. I'm not really sure how. You know, we were just a bunch of campground pickers having a good time and trying to figure out how we could do this for a living. And, you know, watching bands like Hot Rise and Newgrass Revival. And honestly, the original band that really kind of inspired me was Earl Scruggs. My first bluegrass album I ever bought was Earl Scruggs, His Family and Friends. And it was Earl with his sons, Randy and Gary, and they had drums, and Randy would get on electric guitar, to me, that was like the beginning of my inspiration, that you could take bluegrass and you could add other instruments that weren't necessarily bluegrass instruments, drums and electric guitars, but you can also still play bluegrass. I mean, Leftover Salmon can break it down and be an actual bluegrass band. Totally acoustic. We got, you know, Jay Starling on dobro now, and I mean, we are a bluegrass band. We're kind of a loud bluegrass band, but that is our roots. We came from the bluegrass world into the jam band world. It wasn't the opposite way. We were all, you know, learning how to play bluegrass and growing up with it and standing around the campfire all night at festivals and, you know, watching people like the Banjo Bullies do crazy things. And I won't go into that, Pete. Okay.
I have a footnote when.
We did a lot of disruption, and we kind of our whole thing was just to kind of blow it all out of the water, discombobulate it, and make it into something different, and yet still play bluegrass. And as far as you know, what the future is, I think that you know more and more of that is happening. You know, with these bands like Pete was just talking about Green Sky and String Dusters and Yonder Mountain and Billy Strings and Molly Tuttle and you know on and on and on. There's all these bands that are kind of following, that sort of footprint, and it turns out people really like it, and they like to get up and dance to bluegrass, and they like to party and have a great time, and you can still play to sit down in crowds and still play acoustically and quietly, you know. But I think it's great. I don't know how much we had to do with it, but I think it's really great to see where it's been going and the fact that it's become more of a kind of music that, you know, more people know about. And it's not, you know, relegated to just traditional festivals and just, you know, theaters and, you know, quiet, polite, sit-down crowds. I like to think that we were, you know, part of the chain of events that maybe helped create that, but we were just following in the footsteps of these guys and trying to figure out, you know, how to do our own thing, and we just kind of got lucky, I guess.
So. Kyle,
more than luck.
Jump on.